Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Well, she's got a lot of things on her mind to talk about now. She's taking care of her voice, so you know that she's not going to shout now. So get your headphones ready to hear what it's all about. Sound about now when it's all we'll about. We'll have no fun, 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 cause your Crimpin's podcast comes out today. We'll have no fun, 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 cause your Crimpin's podcast comes out today.
No Fun, the Jen Kirkman Podcast. Season 11, Episode 5. Hello, everybody. Oh, I'm trying not to say the word like, except when it's appropriate. Hi, I like that you're listening to this show. And not, so I like went to the store and everyone's just there like, I don't know, like, so there's two likes. There's the comma that you just throw in there for like no reason, right? See what I did? And then there's a way that I also use it, which is, and she was like, fuck off. Or I was like, what the fuck? You know, that meaning, and I was thinking, and her attitude seemed to be, or could mean said. I say like so much. And I don't notice it when I'm just talking to people, but I've had to listen back to episodes of this show when I'm making little clips to use as promos, and I hear the like and the like and the like, and it makes me nuts. So I'm trying, but I also have this thing where I do just go into a zone when I speak off the top of my head. And I go into a zone when I perform, when I'm hyper-focusing on anything. And it's really hard for me to remember to think about it. I could even put a note in front of me that says, don't say like. And I would have to then look at the note in order to accomplish that. I could even look at the note, though, and still zone out and not really take in what I'm looking at. So it is not from lack of trying, but I need to keep trying. Now, you might be wondering, did somebody tell you that you say like too much on No Fun, the Jen Kirkman Podcast? No, in fact. I'm sure people are thinking it. But what happened was, this is a story I haven't told yet. Oh my God, I'm acting like, guys, I have a story that's yet to be told. And I just had to wait until I was in the right frame of mind. No, it just was one of those, you know, I keep a list of quick anecdotes that I'm not sure how they fit into a certain episode, but they're there to say when I need to fill an episode. And for some reason, I never got around to this one, although it is one of my favorite things that has happened to me in the last month. But about a month ago, I was having coffee with my friend Liz, who I've known since I was in college. We were assigned to be college roommates, so known her since I was 18. And we're sitting outside at a, you know, at a coffee shop. And we're talking. And this elderly woman comes up to us. She had been sitting behind Liz. And she's pays her thing and leaves. And she comes over to us and she says, "Girls, I counted 100 likes. Now, pretend I hadn't said anything about I need to say like a lot less. Just apropos of nothing, an older woman comes up to you. I mean, she was probably 70. "I counted 100 likes." And my friend Liz and I had the exact same reaction. And my friend is not even a social media type. She's not in the public eye. She's not using social media every day to promote things. She has an Instagram, never goes on it. I mean, so for my friend to think of it as, oh, this older woman must be talking about social media, that's just how there was no really other choice. That's, of course, what this woman was talking about. It wasn't because, oh, I was sitting with the biggest influencer in the world. And of course, that's what came to her mind when someone came up to us and said, "I counted 100 likes. I also thought the same thing, but I do think that I'm kind of online a lot. And oddly, my brain has been warped. When I hear the word like, I think of the thumbs up button on Instagram or Twitter. So anyway, or the heart emoji button, whatever. Liz and I both on the same page. We both said, "Congratulations," completely not sarcastically. And she said, she just sort of looked at us. And I said, "What did you post?" And I'm thinking, this woman's a little off her rocker, but God bless, God bless. You know, who am I to judge? You get a little older. Maybe she's lonely. Maybe her husband's died. Maybe all her friends are dead. And she just got an Instagram account. And maybe she's trying to get in on this thing that I see going around New York. I've got the coffee table books. They're fantastic. Advanced Style. It's also an Instagram account. It is older women and men too in New York City who are ridiculously stylish. I mean, flamboyantly creatively stylish. You got to check out these human beings. They are fantastic. So it's this whole series of books. You know, they, oh, she's getting into the advanced style thing. Maybe she posted a picture of her lunch. I don't know. And she got 100 likes, which would be a lot of likes if you're new to Instagram and you're not famous and, you know, probably don't have 100 friends on it. So somehow your picture went around enough that 100 strangers liked it. I was excited for this woman. "What did you post?" I ask. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to get this woman's Instagram account. I want to see what's up with this lady who's just talking to strangers.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods. PopPods to get 50% off your first month.
And she looks at me, and then she looked at us and said, "You two girls say like a lot. I counted 100 of them." And Liz and I looked at each other, "Oh, that kind of like." And she wasn't shaming or admonishing us. I have a feeling she wasn't saying it was a good thing, but in a weird way, she wasn't necessarily saying it was a bad thing either. She was smiling. She wasn't saying, "In my day, we didn't say like," or "What? Why don't you girls? That's not very professional. You are not going to get a job that way." There was no further thoughts. And maybe she was thinking that, but honestly, to this day, I still can't tell why she said that to us. I've got to assume she thought it was ridiculous. Maybe she thought it was exciting. Maybe she really had no judgment and just wanted us to know, "I heard you both say like about 100 times in the last 3 minutes." So my friend Liz, I talk to Liz all the time, hang out with her. I never think Liz says like a lot. I have other friends. I might notice an expression they use a lot or something, but maybe because I'm a fellow sayer of like. But I didn't, if someone said your top three friends that say like too much, I would have to guess because I don't feel like I know anyone who does. But just based on other things about these friends, the music they like, how often they read, I would have guessed different people. Liz is not a like, "Oh my God," type person. But Liz said to this woman, "Oh yeah, I do that on purpose. I completely cultivated a personality that says like." Now, I've known Liz 30 years, no joke. I have no idea what she's talking about, but she told me later after this woman left that this is completely true. But she said when she was little, growing up in Massachusetts, as did I, that she heard the song Valley Girl. It was a big hit in 1982. In fact, I bought my first album, record, vinyl, called the 1982 Hit List. Lots of great jams on that one, including "You Dropped a Bomb on Me" by the Gap Band, "I Believe Chaka Khan, I Feel for You," and the weird little ditty, Valley Girl by Frank Zappa. One of the less, not less weird, but more friendly to radio play songs, and his daughter was on it being the Valley Girl. And so we all thought, "Wow, that's so glamorous," because we're from Massachusetts. We don't know they're making fun of the Valley. You know, these airheaded teens at the mall in the Valley where I ended up living later in life, right? In Los Angeles. So people outside the Valley, outside of California, thought the Valley was like the coolest place in the world. You know, people from LA, "Oh, the Valley, ugh." So anyway, I guess as my friend Liz told this woman, "Yeah, no, I'm fine to say like, it doesn't bother me at all. There is absolutely nothing I can think to say in its place. And it's never changing. It's so much, I didn't even remember that I say it all the time. I taught myself how to when I was 8. It's never changing." Now me, I'm all paranoid. Oh my God. I thought that was cool to just announce, "Yeah, no, I know. It may seem stupid or inarticulate or annoying, but I completely wanted to go for this as a child and just never changed my mind about it." I thought it was hilarious. But if you don't know that song, I'll play just a second of it. Oh, I was like, where is this? See, I just did it again. Hang on. All right, hang on. Ah. Okay, hang on. Hang on.
Just like the Galleria.
Hang on.
Encino's like Seduction. Just like the Galleria. I'm like all these like really great shoe stores. I like love going into like clothing stores and stuff. I like buy the neatest mini skirts and stuff. It's like so bitchin' because like everybody's like super, super nice. It's like so bitchin'. Like.
On Ventura. Isn't that funny? I remember, I mean, just that I listened to that song all the time and didn't know that when I grew up, I would move, you know, basically on the corner of Ventura and something else. and watching Welcome Back, Hotter, looking at the opening theme song and that really cool sign that says Brooklyn, fifth largest city in the world. That sign does exist at the J Street Borough Hall stop in Brooklyn. If anyone wants to know, you can go look at it. I'm going to go look at it someday. Anyway, it's funny that I ended up living in the places that were so much part of my pop culture. Whatever. So there you go. So ever since that woman said that, I feel ashamed. Rock on to my friend who's like, yeah, see, you did it again. I'm not going to point it out from now on because I do say it. I'm going to just try to say it less. I'm not trying to eradicate it because I search for words and I just want to speak normal. But yeah, rock on to my friend who's like, yeah, no, I'm doing it. And then the old woman said, well, nice to talk to you girls, and walked away. I still, to this day, what was her point? Okay, so that's my promise to myself. Maybe a New Year's resolution. Remember, I said that at the beginning of the year, I was annoyed with people's energies coming in hot with their resolutions and their dreaming and scheming, and don't email me and ask me to be part of this thing that you want to think up. Just leave me alone. I'm still ramping up. But one of my goals will be to say the word like less. I go, she goes, they go instead of said. So my mom goes, it drives me nuts. I have to think of other words to say because said just no longer comes naturally. I don't know if there was ever a time in my life where I said instead of go. Can't imagine. But I do think I've become less articulate as I got older, which is weird because as I got older, I became more and more, I would say, not successful necessarily. I mean, sure, successful, but I became more and more just absolutely positively I speak for a living, whether it's a podcast or on tour, you know. I also write for a living. Obviously, saying like and go is easily preventable when writing dialogue, but when pitching things in the writer's room, I don't know. It's just very conversational. Am I saying like and go every second? I don't know.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, so as we all know, this is not No Fun, the Hilaria Baldwin podcast. I am not a podcast that necessarily talks about celebrities, but we've got our little private jokes in this podcast. We've got our little people that just seem to pop up, and Hilaria Baldwin just seems to pop up on this podcast. I've talked about her before. I was pretty obsessed with her being discovered as a fraud who pretended she was Spanish, even though really it was just that her parents retired in Spain. And she went there for 2 weeks every summer as a kid. But she's from Boston. We know this. Okay, so I'm really never thinking about her. I'm not looking for news about her, but it's become enough of a running thing with us. And a lot of times it is just on the Patreon version. So if you haven't heard it, that's why. Maybe count your blessings. But now, you know, the last time I talked about her, it was because one of my subscribers had asked me if I could talk about if there's any updates in Hilaria Baldwin's life. And so now a lot of you have sent me this clip of Hilaria. And look, I'll say this. This clip makes me sad for two reasons. They do have seven, she and Alec Baldwin have seven children who are innocent of any of the sins their parents have committed, right? They deserve a clean slate in life. They deserve not to be photographed and harassed by paparazzi. They deserve to be held in the arms of a mother who's not experiencing anxiety because she's being chased by paparazzi. And no, I do not believe that you asked for it if you are a celebrity or whatnot. It's just invasive. Now, at the time of this recording, I am recording this maybe about 10 to 14 days before it's going to be released. But at the time of this recording, Alec Baldwin, what's in the news lately is that he's being charged with involuntary manslaughter, and most of the blame for the gun, well, not just going off, but that the gun had real bullets, and the death of the director and developer of photography, the DP on the movie set. He's being mostly held responsible for her death more than anyone else. And so, you know, there's been a lot of legal eagles dissecting it, talking about it. Is it fair? Well, he was really a producer and an actor. Who should decide with the guns? Blah, blah, blah. There's been all this talk. But I guess it's been, in the legal worlds, a little shocking to see that charge. And again, he has to go through trial and all that. But in general, obviously, it's a sad thing for a family to go through. Obviously, I know that the person who died, it's sadder for their family, but obviously it's stressful. I don't care how crazy or psycho or shitty you are. If your husband is being charged with that and you have seven kids, I mean, I don't think any of them thought this would happen in their life. So anyway, but Hilaria Baldwin, literally, I think it was Christmas 2020, outed as pretending to be Spanish. She had a lot of sponsorships and corporations that she worked with and media outlets just drop her completely. She had a lot of mommy blogger stuff that had to do with being Spanish. And in the most stunning of things, see, that part is barely that interesting to me, a little interesting. The most stunning of things, she didn't go away. She doubled down. Even to the point where a year later she's writing, I feel Spanish. I identify as Spanish. She's pulling one of those. So now paparazzi in her face asking, you know, what she thinks about Alec, which is just very sad. But she's got one of her babies and she's doing the accent still. It's amazing. So one of my listeners, many of my listeners who sent this to me, they want to know my take. So let me just play some of this.
I'm going to get all these charges through.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. You're not going to ask me questions. I'm going to tell you. Okay? I want you guys to realize that we have seven kids. And you being here to escort them to school and to be there when they come home is not good. So on a human level, you guys know I'm not going to say anything to you. You know that. So please leave my family in peace. And let this all play out, okay? So let my kids come home and you stay away from them. Because they ask me, Mommy, what are these people doing? And it's a very hard thing as a mom to try to explain. So please, go home.
Go home.
Say anything, and
go
I'm
home.
Not going to say anything.
Or they ask me, Mommy, why do you have accent we don't have? Go home. Go home, I say to them. Look, I don't know. People want to know my take. What could my take be? This is incredibly tragic. These kids have a deeply disturbed mother, just a freak of a dad, who ironically is a rageaholic and accidentally shot someone having nothing to do with his rage issues. He wasn't raging at the time. It was a total mistake on set. I don't know. I have no take. I have no take except, holy shit, she's just doubling, tripling down. And he knows she's not Spanish. And everyone's just, yeah, talking the accent. It's fine. Everyone in her life talking. I can't have a take on this. I need more info. I need to know what her best friends say? Has anyone in her life just slowly stopped emailing back? So let me pull away. I didn't know she wasn't Spanish. This is weird. Now, again, if you're in Spain all the time, as you know, if you go anywhere and you're there 3 weeks even, you start to say words like someone wherever you go. I used to spend a lot of time in Australia. I would start saying certain words like an Australian, but then it would go away the minute I was back in America for about a week. And again, it was certain words. I mean, we all do this, you know, but you'd have to really be living in Spain all year. Oh, she was back in America for 24 hours. That's when the paparazzi got her, and she's still got a little lilt of a something because she's been around people that only pronounce things this way, that way. But it's the way she speaks it. It's not just an accent where you think, let's say we thought the accent was real. I wouldn't think that's someone who's fluent in English. I would think, oh, that person is fluent in English. It's definitely their second language, and they're still kind of insecure about certain words and are thinking to make them come out, you know? And that is what is, to me, the most psychotic part. It's not like, everybody, this is Jean Cookman. I am French. And today on the No Fun Z Jean Cookman podcast, like, that's me, you know, doing a terrible accent, but confidently speaking French, I'm telling you it's my first language. Actually, English is my second. I am French, right? So it's weird that the way she speaks English is in this accent that if I didn't know any better, makes me think English is her second language and she's struggling to put, like, how do you put it? God, look at me. Like conjugating verbs and putting tenses together, you know, all the extra stuff of language that isn't just words. So they say, go home. I say, go home. You know, she's struggling to get the verbiage right. I say to you, come home. Is it come or go? Come, go. I want you to go home. It's that. And that extra level of, no, I don't know English so well. That is what's psychotic to me. Because it's been revealed and she's admitted, yeah, okay, fine. English is my first language, but I basically half lived in Spain, which is a lie. But okay, you know, Spanish would still be her second language. And she acts like English is her first. So I think that's my take, is that with each time I hear her, I have a more nuanced thought about it. And my a more in-depth look at it. So my in-depth look is, wow, I know we've skirted around this before, but I've never quite articulated it that, you know, we've made fun of her for saying, how do you say cucumber? We knew then that she was pretending that she didn't know English words, but it's hitting me in a different way right now that actually is dropping it to a level of a deeper psychosis than I ever thought. So anyway, I don't know. I just feel bad for the kids. Hopefully they have enough money. I always think, look, are they rich? Okay, that helps with some of the emotional damage. I know that's the wrong way to think, but you'll never convince me that it doesn't help. Okay, well, if you want to continue listening to the rest of this episode, and I hope you do, join us over on Patreon. You can click the link in the show notes. Go to patreon.com/JenKirkman. It's the best way to support this show. You can pay $3, $4, or $5 a month. More you pay, the more episodes you get. Most episodes are 60 to 90 minutes. They are all, as always, ad-free. And there's a great community of people on the Patreon website that you can chat with, that listen to the show. Oh, and also you'll have access to all of the archives of Patreon episodes from the last year and a half, 2 years. So you can just binge a dinge when you join. And when you join, there is a way to put the link in your favorite podcast app so you don't have to listen on the Patreon website and all that kind of shebang. So I'll see you over there. And if not, until next week, have fun.